A little advice, come on, come on, come on, yeah. Just a little advice with Christine Little. Check it out.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Little Advice Podcast, a podcast where I, comedian, self-help lover, and holder of a BA in psychology, gives advice to one of my guests. This is episode number 30. Yay, I can't believe it's been 30 episodes already. And this episode is really special because this is the first time I've had an international guest. She is not only an international guest, but she's also a magician, motivational speaker, an author, a podcaster, and she comes to us all the way from Germany. Her name is Jennifer S. Royal, and we have such a great conversation about learning to surrender and trust that things are going to work out how in perfect timing and not get too attached to the results and the things that you want in your life. We also discuss her creative process and coming up with new illusions. She also shared with me something that rich people do that leaves them free to not just work in their business, but on their business and on their creative process. And so I'm going to leave you with a cliffhanger for that one. I also want to give a quick shout out to Jewess from Queens and Sean B underscore me for leaving these really great reviews of the podcast. I appreciate it so much. It really helps. And if you want to support, please leave a review, rate it. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you can be on top of when new episodes come out every Monday. Also, I'm super excited to announce I am going on a tour with two of my favorite comedians, Hannah Hogan and Sophia Alexandra. We're calling it the TV Fameless Tour, and we're going to be coming to the Pacific Northwest this week. So if you want to follow along with our journey on that or come check out some shows, I'll be posting about it on my Instagram at @thexteenlittle. And I'll give you some more details during the intermission of this show. And without further ado, please enjoy this episode of A Little Advice. Here with Jennifer S. Royal. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Very good, Christine. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for agreeing to come on. I have to tell you something. You are my first guest that I've had. Well, you have a couple firsts. First guest that I've had over Skype. So that's a big deal. And you're my first guest that I've had that's international. So
cool.
So you should feel very, very special. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Now, Jennifer, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Of course. So, as you know, I'm from Germany, Munich, and I'm a professional magician. Started doing magic at the age of 4 and studied almost every field of magic, from card magic and close-up to big illusions, and really got into mentalism and hypnotism. And from there, I learned a lot of psychology and perception, and turned my profession as a magician also into a coach consultant, helping people to develop the magician's mindset that teaches you how to make the impossible possible in your own life, like magicians internationally do on stage.
Wow. That's amazing. Since you were 4 years old.
Yeah, quite some time, and started like with my magic kit, learned everything in this magic kit, tried everything out, locked in my room, and then went on stage.
Wow. So what drew you to that as a 4 year old? And you just kept going with it. So what was that initial draw?
Yeah, actually, my father had a friend and he showed me how to make my thumb disappear. And that was the hook.
So I bet as a magician, mentalist, hypnotist, like all of that, that's got to serve you in your relationship somehow too, right?
Yes, that's true. So very often my partners were afraid of reading their minds, and also my friends are, because there is something to it. And when you really dive deep into all this mind stuff, it's crazy what's possible, like with this telepathy. And yeah, as I said, through training a lot, you get better at that. And sometimes like with an actor, it's hard to make the cut when you go from stage and you just have the skills with you. And sometimes it's really helpful because I know exactly when someone is lying to me.
No way.
Yeah.
Can you tell over the phone? Not that I'm lying right now, but I'm just curious of like how much truth I can tell. So.
Yeah, over the phone is kind of complicated because you only have the voice, but nevertheless, our voice reveals a lot about the personality behind it, because you know from yourself, you can tell when you phone a friend and he or she doesn't feel good. So you can hear that in the voice because there's this frequency with it. But when it comes to lying, of course, it's easier when this person is in front of you, because then you have the body language, and people are doing a lot of things when they are not conscious of doing it. And when you are trained to read it, so sometimes magic from mentalism has to do with this kind of profiling. So then you get all the hints and you see when they are uncertain and how they have their feet tells you something.
Oh my gosh. It's
for example, when you go to a conference and you have people there in groups talking. So you can see whether this is an open conversation or not, because when people are standing there very close together and have their feet together, this is a close conversation. But when you see them standing there and they have their feet kind of open, you see this is an open conversation and you could easily join the conversation.
Wow. So that's a good tip. If you're ever at a party or a social function, it's like, are these people safe? And if their feet are closed or if they're pointing towards each other, it's like, well, do not enter, do not go in there. So,
yes.
Wow. There's something. Yeah. I did a show. I'm a comedian and I did a show with a guy who's a comedian and also a mentalist recently. And I was astounded. He was able to guess my phone password. He guessed someone who I was thinking about, my relationship to that person and their name. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And so I kept like harassing him and asking him to tell me more stuff. And he says he just turns it off when he's not performing. So but, oh, that's gotta be so cool. He said he's had detectives ask for him to like come in and like try to suss out suspects and things like that. Do you ever have anything like that happen for you?
Yeah, kind of. So it really happens because it's like you are also developing your intuition very well. And sometimes after a show, I get approached by some spectators and they ask me some crazy questions about their future. And this tells me then that the illusion was really perfect. And you see, Christine, from your own experience, that sometimes it's much more powerful when someone guesses the name of your partner or your password or whatever, instead of making a helicopter appear on stage, because people forget that they see that and they see that time and time again. So maybe it's a car or a motorcycle or whatever, but when it gets really personal, so then it has this big impact. And sometimes for those effects, you only need a paper and pen and you're ready to read minds.
Wow. Oh my God. That's so cool. I would love to learn how to do that. I think it would be such, I feel like I told the guy, I was like, I feel like I'd be a superpower. Like it's a superpower. I'd have it on all the time. I'm like, you're cheating on your wife. You're reading your taxes. You're this, you're that. I think that'd be so awesome. And what you mentioned earlier about the being able to tell if people are lying or not, I'm actually reading a couple books that both have to deal with, but both of them deal with that subject. One is called The Confidence Artist, or The Confidence Game, and it talks about confidence artists, and Presence by Amy something or other, and it talks about your body language and things like that.
Yeah, that's about persuasion as well, right?
Is it? I haven't finished reading it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to get into the good stuff. So yeah, it said that like most people, they can't tell when people are lying. And like when you survey people around the world, they think that someone not giving eye contact is a sign that they're lying. But in reality, it has to do more with what they're physically doing and not what they're saying at all. Like it doesn't, like the eye contact thing isn't necessarily a cue that they're lying.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that, because it's too obvious and everyone would go for that and just looking in the eye to find out, but that's not it. And the interesting thing is, I mean, when you go to a magic show, you know exactly that these are all illusions and you're going to be tricked and you normally pay for it. And it is said that we magicians are the most honest people because we tell you that we're going to lie to you when you come into our show. So it's really, really interesting, like this paradox in itself there. And then on the other hand, finding out if people are lying. And it's really important to become good at studying this body language, because when you bring someone on stage for an illusion, for an interactive piece of entertainment, and I'm sure you know this as a comedian as well when you do, so you have to check in seconds if this person would work on stage and follow what you are saying or not, because if you make a mistake there, it's live entertainment, you know that, so there's no second chance and you have to deal with it while everyone is looking at you.
Oh man, that's really high pressure. That's really, I haven't ever brought anyone up on stage. It's like a big no-no for comedy. But yeah, in terms of like people who maybe talked, there's certain people, you know, that you'll, how to shut them down by like ignoring them or just saying something offhand or whatever. There's different, you know, turning your body away from them and kind of treating him like a teacher, like, okay, I'll talk to you when you're quiet again, you know? So, well, thanks for telling me about what you do. I can't wait to hear more about it in the second half of this podcast. But before we get to that, can you tell me what's your problem? Like, what's going on with you?
Of course. So I'm really wrapped up into the magic scene and always trying to transfer all my magic skills and what I learned from magic into real life. Because, you know, in magic, we conquer the laws of physics. So we make things levitate, make things disappear, or make things change places. All things that from Newton's physics would say it's impossible. And we find ways to make it possible. So I always get up with the question in mind, what would I do, as you mentioned before, if I had the superpowers for real? So how could I change my life and reality and play with reality and make all these things happen in real life and not only on stage? And people are used to that magic really always is simple and looks simple. And most of the time, the easier it looks, the harder it is behind it. But the audience doesn't know that. And in magic, it happens then so fast and take really a long time to come true and to happen. So yeah. I can make a coin appear in an instant. So it's a second and I have a coin when I think of it on stage. And when I go now in real life, and I'm not really... for me, everything has to happen right now. So I can't wait. So this is my weakness.
So you've got a little bit of impatience going on.
Yes. Yes, you could say it like that. And so when I have something big in mind that I would like to accomplish, I put all my energy and effort in it and then it doesn't happen. So I have this problem to really let things go and trust in the universe and in the process that it is happening just in the right and perfect timing, because I'm used to on stage that it happens now. And this is what I'm dealing with.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like you're used to on stage being able to think of something and just conjuring it up right away, like a coin or whatever illusion that you're doing. You're like, boom, there it is. There's the results. There's the instant gratification. But when it comes to something like a project or whatever in your actual life, it doesn't come as quickly. And it's frustrating for you because you're putting all this energy into it and it's not happening when you'd like.
Yes, you got it perfectly right.
Okay. So when you said it doesn't happen, does that mean it never happens or does it just happen at a later time? Can you think of an example?
Yes, normally it happens at a later time or it comes from a completely different direction that I wasn't expecting. And, you know, sometimes when we overthink things and we are too focused on our mind, we only have one way in mind that something could happen, and we are not open for all the other ways that might be possible and we can't see at that very moment.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. We're just shutting down all these other opportunities. Like someone, you're like, oh, I want $100. And someone's like, here's $100. You're like, but I need to get it through the effort I'm putting out in this area. And someone's like, well, I'll just give it to you. You're like, no, it needs to come from here. And that's yes. So funny. I tell my friends about this all the time. And I actually have this printed out and framed in my room on my dresser. It says, trust that when you plant seeds, something will grow. And to me, that means that wherever you're putting energy into something, say it's your career or I don't know what it would be for you. But yeah, I'm gonna use my career as an example. I'm like, oh, I'm trying so hard. Like I started out as an actor and I got into comedy about 3 years into performing as an actor. And when I was doing acting, I'm like, I got to get this credit. I have to get a co-star credit. I have to do this. And it just wasn't happening. I wasn't even getting in the rooms to audition, and I'm doing casting director workshops and doing all these things and nothing's happening. But then I just started doing comedy, and I wasn't thinking that my opportunities for acting would come through comedy necessarily. But then something was just given to me, like an opportunity to get the credit that I was working so hard to get. And this other arena came to me through another area. So to me, that means that wherever you're putting an energy into something, it's going to come back to you. It may not necessarily come back to you in the way that where you're planting the seeds, but it'll come back to you in another way that just flows easily to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. And you are so right, because the universe is a closed system, so energy never disappears. So it just transforms.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the most difficult part about that for you? Like, is it trusting that it will happen, or just the like, oh, I need it at this particular time?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's really distrusting and just letting things go, because, you know, sometimes we are standing in our own way, and it's more like getting out of the way so that the universe is able to deliver it. And it's always this problem when there is all this attachment to it. And, you know, there are some books that tell you, think of it all the time. And then there are other books that say, yeah, just surrender, let it go. And then you think, yeah, which way should I go now with this?
It's like, how can I think about it all the time and then also let it go?
Yes.
This kind of seems like an oxymoron. I think sometimes that means is like, they have it in your awareness, but like, don't care if it happens or not. And that is, I don't even know how to handle that. That's something I struggle with myself. It just reminds me, I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before. Have you seen that video where Oprah is talking about how she got cast in the movie The Color Purple?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how she was like praying on it. Just she knew it was hers. There were all these signs. And then she found out she didn't get it. And then she went for a walk and she's crying and she's praying. And then she finally got to a place where not like she let it go that it wasn't hers, but was actually able to be happy for the person who did get it. And it was like that shift in her happened. And then she finds out that she got the role. It's almost like we're being tested to see if we can, how much that attachment means to us. Like,
yes.
Is this going to be your everything? Are you going to be okay with it? Do you need this? And when you find out you don't need this thing, then it's able to come into your life. It's like a game the universe is playing with us sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I also found it's like, of course, our subconscious mind tries to protect us from everything that could mean a change, and with us being uncertain. So it's really tough to deal with the unknown. And when you go into a magic show, you're dealing with the unknown for the whole time, because you never know what's going to happen next. But mm-hmm. in real life, it seems to be, I don't know, it provokes all this feelings of uncomfortable when you think of the unknown. So you have no clue what's happening next. And also talking about this wanting to have something, then maybe you had this experience as well. So when you're looking or watching romantic comedies, it's when someone doesn't want the other person, it's really easy to get the other person. And in case you are so focused on someone and want exactly this person, it is like the universe is putting this person mm-hmm. even further away from you. So it's so interesting in this letting it go.
You know what? Another analogy that came to mind, I don't remember where I heard this, but it was about when you hold a baby. You hold a baby, and the baby, sometimes, you know, a baby wants to get away from you. It's like, let me go. And when you hold on to it more, it like resists more. And then when you finally let it go, it doesn't want to come back to you because you don't know how to let it go. Versus a baby that you let come and go freely, it feels like it can trust you more because you'll be able to let it go when it does come.
And I think it has a lot to do with resistance, because when you listen to Esther Hicks and watch her YouTube videos, it's all about this resistance, and that there is something you have to solve when there still is this resistance. And I mean, the best way is when you are in this flow. And I really study a lot quantum physics, because this is what I think brings us closest to real magic in reality. And like quantum physics turns this process around, because you know normally from physics that you need time to move through space. But with quantum physics, it's about making things come to you and being on the right frequency to attract the right people and circumstances, that what you have in mind can happen easily just in front of you.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. I've never heard the quantum physics described that way, about things coming to you versus you going out and getting it. It seems like you study this stuff a lot, vibrational frequencies and quantum physics and learning to trust the universe, and you study Esther Hicks. Can you tell me about a time in your life where you have been able to let go and something that you've wanted to come to you has come to you easily and you've been in the flow?
Yes, sure. So it was really interesting. I always had in mind to, because I have this background in film. So like you, I have two academic degrees, and I got my master's degree in film directing and film design in Germany. And so I actually worked some time in Hollywood, and I was then there, so tough to get into there. And you know, as European, it's really, really hard to get into it and break into the industry. So I always wanted to bring magic and entertainment in terms of film together, and I had this in my mind, and I had this strong belief that it has to happen like that, and it just didn't. So it didn't work out. I went there for an internship, and I was hoping so much to stay there afterwards, but didn't work. And I let it go for years and years to come. And like last year, like you, I started my own podcast, the Pure Mind Magic podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's really like I call this podcast a magic portal, actually, because I have a lot of very interesting guests from all around the world, all brilliant minds that create magic on their terms. Yeah. And through that, it was so funny. I had an LA producer from actually Hollywood on the show, and he decides with who the Emmy goes to. So someone really ranked high. So this high profile guest. And after the interview, we were just talking about magic and film, TV. And then he came up with the idea that we could create a TV series with me as the magic host of the series. And I thought, Wow, that is so crazy, because I was chasing this dream for years and years and nothing happened. Every door seemed to be closed. And now with me sitting on my desk in Munich, so this LA producer calls in and says, hey, we could create this. So that was just awesome.
Oh my God. I love that story so much. So before that happened, you had let go of having to do it on your terms. You still had that desire in you, like, that would be great if I could tap into Hollywood and bring magic and entertainment together, like Hollywood, like movies or show together. What can you think of anything that was going on during that time or a life path you were going down? It seems like you had shifted your focus away from trying to pursue this one thing into pursuing something else. Maybe the passion for podcasting come up. How did that happen to where you kind of let go of your initial inclination to do to work in Hollywood?
Yeah, I think it really had to do with what you said, this mind shift. And while I was studying so much about this mindset and quantum physics thing, I thought, wow, I'm here on the completely wrong track. So it can't happen like that, because I bring all this resistance and this pressure into it. So it's a complete wrong energy and it won't work like that. And when I started with this strong desire and this one picture in mind, it can't turn out very well and very magical. And it's just really, I let it go completely. I still kept this idea, of course, in my mind. So it was there, but I lost all the attachment to it and just thought to myself, okay, when it doesn't happen all so good, then something else will happen. And I got really successful with this podcast and thought, this is so cool, because I'm sure, Christine, you can relate to that. So it's like you create this show that is completely... So there's no attachment to time and space. So you're completely free and people can listen to your entertainment and to your content 24 hours wherever they are. And when you do a live performance like you do with comedy or I do with magic, you are limited to this very stage and room with these people that are attending at that very time.
Yeah. Oh, are you there?
Yes. So and that was like the mind shift. And talking about quantum physics, it's about sending out frequencies. And with podcasting, we have this kind of radio show. So a lot of signals and frequencies go out and they seem to attract then the perfect match.
Wow. So you really let go of it and just reshifted your energy on another project. Now, when you were doing the podcasting project, or when you're doing your podcasting, did you have a strong attachment to having any sort of results, or was this something that was just fun for you to do?
Yeah, actually, it started really like this fun thing. And I described it in my book, like in the beginning, I thought, who would do a podcast without getting paid? And who would this all be for? So I couldn't imagine this huge field of possibilities I was about to tap into. So like opening another magic door. And I think with this just playing around, this was really the magic key that turned everything. And it's the same with interview guests. So I'm not chasing them down. So when I have someone in mind, I think, wow, this guest would be really cool. But if it doesn't happen, okay, then that's fine. So just like 2 weeks ago, I interviewed Jerick Robbins, the son of Anthony Robbins.
And, that's awesome. Yeah. I know someone who's friends with him. I haven't met him.
Nice. Yeah. And I thought, wow, this would be cool, because he's really interesting and he's doing a lot about performance. And of course, as a magician, I'm really into performance, and also in podcasting, I'm into performance. And then I reached out, and of course, there is this application process with his team. So checking everything. And I thought, okay, I just fill it in. So when it's the right fit, it will happen. And otherwise, who cares? Then that's fine too. And it worked. So I got the reply, congratulations, and you made it, and he will come to your show. And it was an amazing interview.
Wow. And that's on your podcast?
It will come out soon. So it's recorded already, and it will be out soon. Yes.
Oh, so look out for that. And tell us the name of your podcast again.
It's Pure Mind Magic.
Pure Mind. And there's this really cool picture of her like doing, wait, maybe that's just your Skype picture. Never mind. But there's a picture of you with, there's like a green glow and like smoke and it looks really cool. Yeah. And I've listened to some of the podcasts. It's really interesting. I listened to an episode where you had this like multi-billionaire guy on there that like he says he only works like 3 days a week part-time for the last 10 years because he's just created this lifestyle for himself. And I think there was something really interesting too that you said about when you shifted your focus and getting into the podcasting, you said that you were doing it just playing around. So to me, that didn't sound like you were like, okay, I'm going to do this podcast and then I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to meet an LA producer and blah, 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 blah. Like you were just like, well, let me see what this is.
Yes, is exactly. Right? Yes, yeah. Yes.
So there wasn't an attachment there. So is there something specific in your life right now that you're trying to will into it and that you're having an attachment to? Something you'd like to share about? I don't know. I mean, I don't want to bring up anything like too personal or anything, but if there's anything you want to share about that you're having a strong attachment to.
Yes, so I'm at the moment about to create my first online course. So after writing two books, one in German and one in English, that is on Amazon, and it's about podcasting, I thought online courses would be so cool. And it seems to be that I have some attachment there to it, because do you know this, when you have something in mind and then you start to procrastinate and you know exactly you should sit down and do your work, and then you thought, oh, I could clean up, and oh, maybe I go to work out now, and oh, I should wash the car. So it's really crazy what's happening there. And then I thought, there must be some attachment to it. So normally it's so simple, because I just finished a course on how to create your first online course. And in my mind, I have the perfect master plan on how to do it. And I have my structure on paper. But now when it comes to actually film it and do the screen capturing, I'm kind of procrastinating. And I think, I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, that's really interesting. And it's funny because I was just listening to your podcast last night and you said something interesting that pertains to what's going on with you right now. Like sometimes when you want to do creative work, it doesn't come to you while you're working. It comes to you while you're doing something else. So if you think about it, it could be your mind's or your subconscious mind's way of generating more material for you while you're washing your car or doing something where you're not directly thinking of it, and your subconscious is just kind of working it out for you, so that when you do sit down to do it, it will already be together.
Very cool. I love that, Christine. This is like a magic hack you revealed here.
Hey, you know what's funny? I got it from you.
Really funny. So we come full circle here.
Yes, we did.
You are the voice of my subconscious mind reminding me, I guess.
Yeah. I highly recommend that you take a listen to your podcast where you talk about that. Really good stuff.
Very good. So sometimes I quote myself and my friends make fun of it when I do. So
so there you go. It's already out there. It's already coming together for you. And you've done the work. You just have to trust the process and think that maybe part of the process of doing it, and I'm saying this for myself as well, part of the process of doing something is not doing it directly. And it has to do with the attachment to how it's supposed to be done. So in our heads, how we're supposed to create a project is to sit down, outline it, fill it in, and make it like, you know, I'm going to do it from this time to this time, and it's going to be like this, and it's going to be perfect. But in reality, the process may look like, okay, I'm going to sit down. Oh, wait, I got to go clean the living room. And all right, I'm going to sit down, and then I'm going to go do this. Maybe that's how it's supposed to be. You know, maybe it's how it's supposed to be. We don't really know.
That's so cool. I actually wrote that down here on my notepad. Part of doing it is not doing it. That is so cool.
Good. I'm going to have to listen to this too, because I need to hear that. It's so hard. And then we get into this cycle of beating ourselves up? And then what kind of vibration is that?
Yeah.
What are you bringing in when you're doing that? So it's like, maybe a good practice would be when you're going through that process of like, shoot, I'm not doing it, saying, oh, yay, I'm not doing it. And I'm getting to get this done. I wouldn't have cleaned this up if I didn't have to think about filming this thing. I get some of my best cleaning done when I've got a lot of work to do. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's so funny. And these are all things that need to be done. And when you have the time, you don't do it anyways. And then when you don't have the time, actually, it's really easy to do them. So that's crazy.
Yeah, it's like everything's working out how it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And when you just said something too that really stood out to me. When you were talking about the attachment, you said that you wanted to clean and you wanted to do things. And then to you, that was a signal that there was some resistance there. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I wish I could. So I'm still in the process of finding out what it is. So, because as I said, in my mind, I have this clear picture there and this draft. And then I'm wondering why I bring in this resistance. So maybe there is this being afraid of a big change. So what could happen? Because I saw now from other instructors, like when they start out with their online courses, very soon they have about 80,000 students worldwide. And maybe it's like my subconscious mind trying to keep me safe. Mm-hmm. To see this big movement. So, because, you know, of course, when you put a cause, there is an effect. So maybe I'm thinking, what's happening then? Because when I really get like thousands of students worldwide and they're asking me questions and I have to be there and I have to answer them. So, because otherwise you get bad reviews and all of that. So I thought maybe it's something about that, because it's really creating something, put it out into the world, and you have no idea what will happen out of it, and you can't control it. So, and I think this is a big issue a lot ago, and not being in control.
Yeah. And I also hear too, that's like all this worry, if this happens and this happens and that happens, and it's like, you're already to a point where someone's leaving you a bad review and you haven't even done the course yet. And there's like a, like, you're very smart, and you've been doing this for a really long time. Like, you will know how to field it when it comes up. And you have the resources to figure out how to do that if that does become an issue. You just did a course. There's millions of resources online. You could do so many things. You could limit the course size. You could do a wait list. You could hire a center for people to call in with issues. There's so many things you could do. So, but I think it is important to know what those things are and like write them down, get them out of your head, and that'll make it easier to debunk the fear, the fear lies, lie fears, or whatever they're called. I just made that up. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely. So yeah, that's it. And it's really interesting, all those things that come up when you try to create something completely new. And what I always say about magic is you really create something out of nothing, because you create something that was before invisible, and you make it visible and bring it into the other world. And it's the same with this course now. So it's not existent yet, and I'm bringing it into existence. And of course, it will change a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a fun way to know that you can handle that change is look back at all the change that's happened before and see how you adapted.
Yes. Yes. Good point. So you know psychology very well.
I know anxiety very well. I'll tell you that much. So, okay. Well, this has been really great. Before we move on to your creative process, which I'm so excited to hear about, can you tell us any of the takeaways that you've had from the conversation thus far?
Sure. So it's really fantastic talking to you, by the way, Christine, because I love your energy and all this positive vibes that I can still feel here on another continent over in Europe.
Thank you.
And yeah, so as I said, I really have this written down. Part of doing it is not doing it. I think this was the best sentence you said so far and made me realize a lot of things. And also your way of reminding me that it's possible to handle everything and I will like figure it out when I go along the way. And I think it was Richard Branson who said, whatever someone asks you, say yes and figure out how later.
Yeah. And that's terrifying. But that goes back to what you said about relinquishing control and not being in control and surrendering. So, because sometimes when I hear things like surrender, I'm like, what does that mean? I surrender. I'm not on the run. What's happening? But I guess a tangible way to look at that is like, okay, if there's something you want to do, say yes and figure it out. That's definitely a surrender. I mean, it can be anxiety provoking, but it's also empowering and confidence building as well.
Yes. So true.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your creative process. When we come back to A Little Advice.
Hello, and thanks again for listening to A Little Advice Podcast. I hope you're enjoying this episode. As I mentioned earlier, I am going on a tour, on the TV Famous Tour with Sophia Alexandra and Hannah Hogan. We are hitting up the Pacific Northwest. I've got show dates on my Instagram. You can check out the flyers. It's at the @TheXTeenLittle. And be sure, if you're in the Bellevue area in Washington, we are having a very special St. Patrick's Day show on March 17th, where we're going to have an interactive type show. And this is going to be the most different show we're doing on the tour. I'd love to get people out to that. If you know anyone in that area, let them know. Come say hi. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, share, and feel free to message me and say hi and tell me some of the things you do or some of your feedback on how you surrender for your goals. Thanks again so much for listening to A Little Advice.
Back several seconds later, I'm here with Jennifer S. Royal, and I was just telling her, and I'm just going to say it to her again, thank you for being on here and sharing and talking with us and sharing your a problem that you have that I think is very relatable. I'm learning so much from it, and I can't wait to go back and listen to this episode myself because you're giving me a lot of like moments. And that, and if you couldn't see, it was me like being like, "Oh, my mind just blew up," you know.
That is so cool, Christine. And I'm so happy to hear that. And, you know, as a magician, it's my job to blow minds. And it's so cool that you have this expression mind blowing in English, because we have nothing that compares to that in German. And this is why I really love to present magic in English. It sounds so much better.
Wow. So you don't have anything like that in German? What's like the closest thing that you have to mind blowing?
Well, good question. It would be maybe something like fantastisch, like fantastic, but it doesn't really come close. So we don't have that term, but it's so cool.
You can coin the term. You'll go down in history. She's like, invented the mind-blowing term in German.
you another light bulb above my head, thanks to you.
Oh, light bulb above the head. Another way of saying mind-blowing, kind of. So before we get into your creative process, you mentioned that you had written some books, and I wanted to get the names of those books before I forget. So can you remind me what they're called again?
Sure. So the one, as I said, is just in German so far. And while I got into the magical process of podcasting, I wrote the book, How Podcasting Can Change Your Life, Unleash Endless Possibilities. And it's really a ton of motivation that tells you why you should go into podcasting and create your own show, like magicians create their own shows. So it's really interesting and it's a fun read, and it gives you also a lot of resources. It's on Amazon, so you can get it worldwide. And it's, find out yourself.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. I love reading. Let's see here. Okay, so your creative process. You're an illusionist. You're a podcaster. You're an entertainer. And there's like so many different facets to those things. If we could just pick one, I think I'd like to pick the illusionist one, if you don't mind, because I'm so fascinated with this, especially the mentalist process. Like, how do you do it? How do you, what is that like? How do you come up with a mentalist situation? I don't know what they're called, but please stop me anytime.
Sure. So it's a creative process like in any other art as well. So it's really like collecting these inspirations. And I love being out taking adventures and see what comes up and take my notes. So I never go anywhere without my notebook in my bag, like really pen and paper, because I'm a person who thinks with pen and paper. And from the scientific background, it's said that there is a special connection actually between your brain and writing something down physically with your hand and not typing it into your computer. So this is interesting, and I always do that. And a lot of big illusions and big ideas are really born from my papers. And in my German book, I mentioned that when I'm out and I'm staying in hotels, it's actually that I put my notebook into the safe before I leave, like pen and paper, you know, so just paper, but it's in the safe. And it's also said that everyone has per year about 3 ideas that could turn them into a millionaire, but what? They lose it because they don't write it down.
Oh my God. Okay. So a couple of things just came up. I got to write this 3 ideas until I'm a millionaire. When you go out on these adventures, have you read The Artist's Way, by chance, by Julia Cameron?
I have, and I also have her journal. So, because she mentions that it's so good in the morning when you sit down and do this journaling to get your mind clear. So I have it on my desk, actually.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, the morning pages. Okay. So I asked you that because you said when you go out on adventures, I didn't know if that was like an artist date, or what does it mean for you to go out and on an adventure to get... Is it on the sole purpose to get inspired, or is it just you out living your daily life? What does that look like?
Yes, it can look like everything. So I'm a huge fan of leisure parks. So these amusement parks like Disney World, so it's my favorite. And just throw myself in there and leaving reality behind. And I also, because I think it's more typical here in Germany to go into the sauna and like just sweating there and getting all this negative or used energy out of your body. So this really helps. But I also love to be in cities I have never been, and just be around and see where I end up. So this is really interesting for new inspirations.
And you just do you do these trips solo?
No, together with my partner most of the time. I mean, it happened that I've done it myself when I went where at a magic convention or sometimes like that, because you know, maybe when you are surrounded with people all the time, then it's good to have some time for yourself. And sometimes it's really the creative process, or it is something that seems to enhance the creative process when you are on your own, because then you are not in conversation. So it's easier to observe your minds and ideas that come up, and you can really focus on yourself and also think about steps you would like to take next just for yourself, because before you discuss it with someone else.
Okay. Yeah. So do you make regular time for yourself to either have alone time or go on adventures on a regular basis, like weekly, monthly, anything like that?
Yes, I do that. So for me, it's really important. And I'm sure, Christine, you know this. So when you do stage shows, it can be really exhausting because you put 100% of your energy in, and most people are not aware of all the energy you give into an audience. So sometimes it also can feel good after it, but you never know who's in the audience and with what energies you are dealing. So I think it's really important. And I noticed from a lot of magic colleagues that they burn out doing too many shows and getting in too much of a routine. So I think it's really important to take a step back and have this time for yourself and your private life to like recharge your batteries and do the next show or project or whatever it is that's going on in your life with some clean, fresh energy.
Mm. So How often do you take that time? Is that like a weekly, a daily? Like how often would you say take the time to recharge, or is it dependent on the amount of work that you have?
Yeah, it's actually dependent. So I always try to start the day in a good mood. So I'm like with this magic ritual in the morning to stay in a good mood and to really get in also a kind of high performance before I start responding to emails or something else that takes my energy away. And always also I try one day per week to have an evening for myself for this time and reading inspirational things, maybe watching an inspirational movie or something, just to have this time for myself. And then also the aim is to do it once a month to go on any kind of adventure, whatever comes up to my mind. So there are a lot of things in the world that are so interesting and I always can't wait to see completely new things.
Wow. I love that you prioritize your craft in that way in terms of taking care of yourself. I don't know about if what your journey has been like with it, but I know for myself, I feel like if I'm not working or even thinking about work, there's like this element of guilt in terms of not doing the quote unquote work, even though the leisure time is part of the work. It's hard to marry those two ideas sometimes.
Yes, so I can quote you back now. You mentioned in the first half.
I knew it.
Of course you did. That this also can be part of the work. And you're so right. So I have this in my book as well, like input equals output. And especially I found this so often that I'm in the sauna or in the jacuzzi and then I got this brilliant idea out of nowhere. And it was the same with my podcast. This hit me out of nowhere in the middle of the night that I should go and start my podcast. So till today, I have no explanation why I actually in the end came up with this idea and then finally made it. And I think it can be something that is really holding you back when you feel all this guilt of when you are not working a time. But I tell you something very important here. So that stood really out for me, because when you look at money, so the richest people in the world are those that work very few, like for a few hours. They make very clear decisions. They have their team. They get some assignments and it is working. So they outsource and they are just the mind of the corporation or the project or whatever it is. And those are the people that earn the most money, and they have time for sailing, for golf, for tennis, for whatever, spending time in the spa. And otherwise, when you look at people like a dentist or an assistant to a dentist or like someone in a hotel or in a restaurant, they work hours and hours. They work day and night, but those are not the richest people. So the magic here is in working smart. And also when you look at a lot of the rich people, I mean, of course, there are exceptions as well, but they really look good. So they take care of themselves.
Oh, I love that. I love that. They work for a few hours, they have clear goals, and they outsource, and they work smart. Work smarter, not harder.
Yes, but it's really this belief. So you know that. So most of us have that from being a child, because our parents told us, so when you want to have more money, you have to work more. You have to work harder. And it was this generation working and working and working. And this is how we grew up. And it's really about breaking out of this pattern and this old belief system that you have to work hard to earn money, because actually it's the other way around. And nowadays everyone has the possibility to turn into an online entrepreneur, for example, no matter where you are in the world, and you can connect with the rest of the world. So it is possible. But the thing is, this magic opportunity first will show up when you are ready in your mind, because then you can see it. You only see what you know. So you have to learn more to see more.
Well, what are some ways that people can change that belief system of working hard to make money and change it into a belief system of working smarter and being okay with outsourcing and taking care of themselves and making that a priority?
I think it's a process. So for me, reading a lot helped me, and also studying these people that are so successful and really rich. So it's this role model that you can see, and these are examples that it is working, but it's a process. So when you think that you were like fed, I don't know, maybe for 25 years with this belief that you have to work hard, you can't change it overnight. It just won't happen. So it takes time, and you have to convince yourself. And there is this very old book, but that is still very good, and that is called The Magic of Believing. So you have to believe it for yourself. And I learned that really from magic, because I on stage have to believe that something levitates. Of course, I know that it doesn't. So there's a trick behind it. But when I don't believe it, the audience won't either.
Same with a joke. You have to sell your joke. You have to believe in the joke. And if you don't, or anything you're selling, really, you have to believe in it. And if you don't, they're not going to believe you at all.
You got it, Christine. You're so smart.
Thank you. Now, you mentioned something earlier too about that everyone has at least three ideas. What is that, a day or a year? What
is it is said per year. So I read it's per year. And
okay, that turns you into a millionaire. I feel like I have ideas nonstop, and it makes it so hard for me to go down one lane. And while I'm going down one lane, all of a sudden something comes up and I'm like, oh, now this thing. And it makes it challenging for me to stick with one path. What can you say to that? Like, how do you know what idea to put energy into? And then also, it's like, how do you know when to let go of that idea and just let things come to you? That's a tough question, but I'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, I love tough questions, of course. And it sounds a little bit like the shiny object syndrome you have there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when it comes to these ideas, I think that ideas are really magical, and ideas can change the world. And when you think about it, everything started from an idea. So everything around you started from an idea. And I'm in the same chair like you, so I have ideas all the time, and it helps me to keep track of it when I write them down. And then, of course, you have to choose where to put your energy in. And sometimes for me, it's tough too. And there are two ways, I think, that you can solve it. So first is really connect with your intuition, with your heart, because we know that our mind and our heart are electrical, but the electromagnetic field of the heart is 5,000 times stronger than of the mind.
Whoa.
So, yeah, when you tune into that, then you can get a feeling of what makes sense. And it is also said that all the big and great ideas and everything that was created so far really came from the heart. So when it comes from the mind, you won't get far with it. So you have to listen to yourself. This is one way. And the other way, of course, is when you have a mentor or coach with you, because sometimes it's so easy to really get overwhelmed in the whole process and you have all these ideas, so you can't see clearly. And when someone from outside comes with a completely different standpoint and like looking at you from above, seeing you in this maze running around, she or he can just say, hey, go to the left and then to the right and you are out. So they really can help you figuring out what makes the most sense for you at that very moment. And I also think when you have all these ideas here, really write them down, because there's a time for all of them. So not all of them at once, but the time will come. And when you keep track of it, it's really interesting. So sometimes I found when I go through my older notebooks, it's amazing. So, and I got new ideas sparked from just looking through everything I have there as drawing, as scribbling. So interesting.
Wow. Do you have a place where you keep all your ideas in just one like file or notebook?
Yeah, now I started to have different notebooks for different projects. So I just created a completely new notebook for this online course. So everything is in there. So I keep, it helps me stay more organized. And I also have my notebook when I'm out at seminars or lectures. So I love to learn new things there. And I have a special notebook for this and obviously also for the magic and for my podcast. So creating all this content ideas, what makes sense, and also all my dream guests. So I keep those all in different places.
Wow, I love that. And I feel like I have a lot of the same inklings as you do with all the different notebooks. I just feel like I gather so much information. I'm like such an information gatherer that it gets a little overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, this is a dangerous thing. So when you just collect all the information, because I say the real magic just happens when you implement, and this is it. And also, I wrote something, I read something that was so interesting. I think it was in a book from Tim Ferriss that when knowledge would be everything, everyone would be a billionaire with a six pack.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So I'd tell Bill Gates to get out of here. There's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So everyone can go on Google and read everything. But then what do you do with this information? Also, when you find out how a magic tricks in illusion works, what do you do with it? So it depends, right? So can you make money from it? Can you change the world with it? Can you make the life of someone else better with your knowledge? So this is where you have to implement. And the most successful people on the planet are those who implement the fastest.
Ooh, I love that. The most successful, I'm like taking so many notes on what you're saying. Most successful implement the fastest. Love that. There was something you said that I was like, whoa, the heart is 5,000 times stronger, the electrical impulses, than the mind. And you say to connect with your heart. What are some ways that you connect with your heart and you know that an idea is coming from your heart and not from your mind?
Ah, I see. You're paying very close attention to what I'm saying here.
Yes, I am.
I was almost sure that you would pick up on this heart thing. And it's actually measured by the Heart Math Institute. And they have machines there where you can sit down and see when your heart goes in coherence. So it's measured and very interesting. And also from my interview with Jarek Robbins, I found out that there is something similar on Amazon that you can get and connect with your smartphone and with the app. It measures your brain waves. So you know exactly when you are calm or when you are frustrated or angry. So interesting. But back to your question, it's really about when you think of it and it feels good and you're not so analytical about it. It's just when you have this feeling that you can't wait to make it happen and get into it. So something that drives you to get in the morning out of bed. And you will know when it's something like that. It's like when you fell in love. So it doesn't have to do anything with the analytical mind. And there's no scientific complete explanation to what is happening there. It just happens. And it's the same with this ideas. When this idea really comes from your heart, you will just know. There's no questions left.
Well, okay. Now look, if it comes from your heart, and you could it maybe reinforce the idea that it comes from your heart if you had this machine with the impulses that connects to it. I'm being serious, that you could measure the electrical output of your heart to know, kind of like your brain waves.
Yes, you can. So as I said, this Heart Math Institute, they do it. And the good thing is when you once go there and you get measured. So I once was at a seminar and they did it there directly. And then you know exactly when you are in this coherence, and it's like this flow state, you know? So I'm sure you as an entertainer know this as well. When you are completely in your element, you like forget time and space, you forget to eat, and then sometimes suddenly it's like 5 hours later and you didn't notice. So, and you're in this perfect flow state, and it's the same when you are in this coherence state. And when you know how it feels, you really can take it with you and know it. It's the same when you meditate and go into this alpha state. When you know what it feels like, it's easier to accomplish it besides being in meditation.
I love that. And you take it with you, and you can measure it up against other projects. Wow, yeah, I went to another place. Yeah, yeah, I just went to a whole nother place with that. I'm like, whoa, the possibilities. And there's so many times, like, I actually really enjoy working. Like, I enjoy just everything about having the business of a stand-up comedian. It could be kind of stressful, to be honest, but I like being in that workflow. And something you said earlier, too, that I'm just now remembering with the outsourcing of things, I've been finding that I tend to do a lot of administrative stuff with my business because it's easier in a sense than the creative aspect. Like with the creative, there's all this like pressure around it being good or right or whatever. But the administrative, it's more like math. Like you do this and this will happen, or it's a numbers game or whatever. Mm-hmm. But with the creative aspect, I tend to procrastinate on that a little bit more. Do you find that you do that? And if not, like, what do you think would be a good way to get out of that mindset and say, okay, I'm focusing on my writing and let me put the administrative stuff to the side or outsource it?
Yes, very good question, Christine. And I've been in the same place there, and I really made some decisions to outsource those things and concentrate more on my core competence and things that really bring me further, because it's really easy to get trapped in other things that just consume time, like with taxes or other things, mm-hmm. and also graphics and video stuff, editing, all of that. Also, with podcasting sometimes, so the editing there, and also the promotion of the podcast. Yeah. So there are ways. And as I mentioned before, like the rich people, they all have their team helping them out. And you have to be the mind, but this brings also along that you have to be very clear so that you are able to communicate to other people exactly what you want. So in the beginning, I made this experience. I just sent out a gig or I got someone for a gig and said, hey, up to your creativity, just here are some pictures, create something. And then I got it back and thought, wow, what is that? And then learned, like, you have to really articulate what you want to someone so that you get it. And very often I read about, and I will do this now, it's so much easier, or it's important to get someone that is helping you with the household, like cleaning up and all that, because that takes so much of your time and energy and you are not productive, because cleaning your kitchen won't make you money. And I read from a lot of people that they started to get some assistance there long before they were able to afford it. And it's also like a statement to your subconscious mind that you are ready for something bigger.
Wow. That is fantastic, because that was going to be one of my next questions. This is like, you know, rich people have a team, but what if you are not rich and you still need a team?
I'm really a mind reader.
You really are. And I can speak to that too, outsourcing something. I use the site Fiverr and I'm like, okay, use this, this, and this. And then you get it back and I'm like, this is terrible. You really do have to be specific. And the cool thing is there are sites like Fiverr where you can, you know, practice your outsourcing skills and your delegation skills for a cheaper way. You're only spending $5 and you get to practice on how to be specific with a task that you need outsourced.
Very good point. Yeah.
Okay. And then there was something else. What's a good way to get out of thinning, thinking, but okay, we talked about that. Study successful people, believing book. Oh, wow. Okay. So let's talk about your actual illusion stuff, because we've just talked kind of around, like we've talked in general about it. And I love talking about what we're talking about. But in terms of taking an illusion from concept to the word I'm looking for, just not implementation, but the final product.
Performance?
Concept, performance. Yeah, there we go. What does that process look like for you?
Sure. So I think it's like in many other fields as well. So as I said, you start with the notes, with the idea. And then when it's a bigger illusion, you start to build it. And I have my father very often help me with that and building also other props that I need. And when it comes to other like close-up illusions that happen just in front of you, it's about training a lot, because your sleight of hand has to work perfectly. And it's really about like doing thousands of times the same move to get it right in front of the audience. So this is then the process. And this is also, I think, what helped me over the course of time to spend time with myself, because you have to perfect it for yourself, just yourself in a room. It's like writing a book, just yourself, before it gets out into the world. So there is this training process involved, and also getting the right props, because it's like that material when you go into a magic shop and buy something. So you read the instructions and you just do it as it is written there. So there's not much magic to it. So the magic comes through the personality, and also when you make changes. So when you adjust the props and get something else, maybe get another deck of cards, whatever. And the more often you perform it, the better the illusion gets, because when it's interactive, people bring in a lot of things. So sometimes that happens in my show, that someone just says something and I completely build it in into the story around the illusion, because it's, again, like in film. So it's about the story and the storytelling that brings life into a deck of cards, because otherwise it's just paper and 52 cards.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot to be with doing the illusions and magic. There's so many elements that you have to balance. Like, you've got your performance element, then the concept of the illusion, and the training that's involved. As a stand-up comedian, we'll go to open mics, or we'll just test a little tag or joke, you know, in between some ones that we know work on stage, and that's how we get our reps in. For me, it's hard to do it by myself, because I'm trying to figure out where the laughs are going to be. So is there anything equivalent to an open mic for a magician, or is that just you getting on stage and interacting, or just going out in the public?
Yeah, sure, it is. So especially when it comes to mentalism, because with the sleight of hand, you can train it with a camera and see how it looks, or what is very famous is like this practicing in front of a mirror. So you can see some things, but then, as I said, when it comes to being interactive and working with other people, you know this as well. So you can't train this in front of a mirror, so it won't work. So it's really learning by doing, and then dealing with it, and also dealing with these people, what they are saying. And mentalism is really a lot about communication. Mm-hmm. So it's really, going out, performing, and then going back, making things better.
Okay. If I wanted to learn more about mentalism, actually, can I ask you this? I don't mean to put you on the spot, and if you can't do it, totally makes sense. Is there any like mentalist thing that we could do over the phone that could work, or does it really need to be in person? You need to probably see my face, huh?
Yeah, you really put me on the spot, right?
I really did.
Of course you did, yeah. So maybe, if I would have known before, or we have to do like to be continued another episode, then I would prepare something.
Do you have any videos or anything that we can see of that? Or do you perform regularly? Or is there some place you're performing next? If anyone's in Europe and they could come see you, or if you're going to come here?
Yes, I'm trying my best to come to the States again. And of course, there are videos on YouTube. And as I said, so when I'm prepared, then we could do something just over a podcast, because before podcasting, I did a lot of radio performances, like with people there. They couldn't see me, I couldn't see them. And it worked as well. So they could try it at home, and then you see and feel for yourself.
Okay, well, we're going to have to do a to be continued type situation. And in the meantime, is there anywhere people can find you just go ahead and plug everything, your podcast, your social, videos, anything like that. Go ahead.
Of course. Thanks for asking, Christine. So the best way actually to reach out is via LinkedIn. So when you search for Jennifer S. Royal, you get me there. So this is where I'm really active. I'm not so active at Facebook. You can also go to jenniferSRoyal.com. So this is my brand new website. And the podcast is called Pure Mind Magic. And before we started recording, I invited Christine to come and be my guest as well. So I hope we can make that happen soon. Yeah. And yeah, as I said, so when you're interested in podcasting, check out my book, How Podcasting Can Change Your Life. Or when you're interested in how I could help you change your mindset and turn you into a mind magician in your own life, then I'm happy when you reach out. And I always promise that every email gets answered personally from me. That is something I'm not outsourcing.
Ooh, I love that. This has been such a pleasure connecting with you and talking to you. And just thank you for taking the time to do this.
Thank you so much, Christine. And I think we're going to continue this on Pure Mind Magic, and maybe then on your show as well.
Yes, I would love that. I would really love that. Okay, well, you guys, thank you so much for listening. If you can, I'm going to do the outro here, Jennifer, just a heads up. So, thank you guys so much for listening to A Little Advice. Please look up Jennifer S. Royal on her podcast or LinkedIn website and shoot her an email. If you like what you hear, please rate, subscribe, leave a review, and feel free to share this episode. Thank you so much for listening to A Little Advice.